إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipper and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our third and final in a series of topics related to the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah and the day of Eid, yani Eid al-Adha and Ayyam al-Tashriq. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, as we read from the final topics that we're going to cover in this book, we're going to look at two hadith, one hadith that's related to the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, any of the practices that are from the Sunnah on that day. And the second hadith deals with the excellence, the virtue, and the superiority of the days of At-Tashriq, yani the 11th, 12th, and 13th of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So before we look at the hadith and the comments that the Shaykh Abdullah ibn Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, that he made concerning these two hadith. Before we do that, I just want to remind us that we should be indeed yani conscious of the favor of Allah upon us and thankful for this tremendous favor of having witnessed the day of Arafat. Even if we are not or were not on the plains of Arafat, yani this tremendous, magnificent day in which the people, the Muslims from all over the earth are gathered together in one place for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a part of the rites and the rituals of the performance of Hajj. And for those of us who yani were not able to be there on the plains of Arafat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated fasting for this day, and whoever Allah enabled and he had a desire for and enabled to fast on this day, then there is a tremendous yani, blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy and a favor, and that is yani, that this day it is expected and anticipated and hoped that it would be a means of expiation of one's sins, as we mentioned last week, from the previous year and the year to come. So indeed, this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we should be thankful for, that we should indeed yani be conscious of the obligation of being thankful and grateful and appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this day of Arafat. And tomorrow inshaAllah, or tonight is the first night or the 10th night, the last of the 10 first of Dhul-Hijjah, and the night preceding the day yani is the day of Eid, or the night of the Eid. So the first hadith that we want to look at is related to Yawmul Eid, and tonight is the night of Eid. The Shaykh has entitled it, and by the way, we're reading in English from pages 47 to 50. This first hadith is covered in pages 47 to 50 in English, and in Arabic from pages 31, 32, and 33. So the Shaykh has entitled this hadith Sha'airu Yawm Al-Eid, Sha'airu Yawm Al-Eid, yani those things that are manifestations or symbols, religious symbols of Islam, practices that Muslims engage in that manifest yani different aspects of Islam, that are seen, that are apparent, that show Islam yani in public, in front of the people, in the society. So the Shaykh here, he's going to talk about, he mentions the hadith and he talks about those sha'air, yani those symbols or those manifestations, those outward apparent manifestations that we see on the day of Eid. And it's basically general for the day of Eid, although some of it is specific to Eid al-Adha specifically. Overall, it's general. So he mentions the hadith an Abdullah ibn Qurt رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أعظم الأيام عند الله تعالى يوم النحر ثم يوم القر أخرجه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح. يعني that Abdullah ibn Qurt, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, indeed, the greatest of days with Allah the Most High is the day of Nahr. يعني the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of sacrifice. ثُمَّ يَوْمُ الْقَرِّ. And this is يعني the day following يَوْمُ النَّحْرِ. يعني the following day, the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood with an isnad, a chain of narration or chain of narrators that is said to be sahih. And the Shaykh mentions in the footnote that the hadith is narrated by Abu Dawood and Ahmed and Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim. And then he mentions, after that discussion concerning the sources of the hadith, he says, يَوْمُ الْقَرْ هُوَ الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي يَلِي يَوْمُ النَّهْرِ. يعني the يَوْمُ الْقَرْ, it is the day that follows the day of sacrifice. لِأَنَّ النَّاسِ يَقِرُّونَ بِمِنَى. Because this is the time in which the people will settle down and remain يعني in Mina. And the people will settle down in these days, yani following the Eid. So, in terms of the hadith, the Shaykh begins by mentioning yani that which this hadith points to. And he says, Al-Hadith Dalilul ala Fadli Yawmul Nahr. Yani this hadith is an indication, an evidence, a proof of the excellence and the superiority and the virtuousness of the day of Nahr, the day of sacrifice. And it also indicates أَنَّهُ أَعَظَمْ الْأَيَّامِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani that this day, the day of Nahr, it is the greatest of days with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani in front of Allah, it is the greatest of days. وَهُوَ يَوْمْ الْحَجَّ الْأَكْبَرِ. The Shaykh says, and this day, يَوْمُ النَّهْرِ, yani the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, it is the day of Al-Hajj Al-Akbar, the greatest Hajj, عَلَى أَظْهَرُ الْأَقْوَالِ, yani according to what is most apparent from the views, the sayings, the opinions of the scholars, as it has been mentioned in the yani from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a hadith reported by Abu Dawud ibn Majah, and even Al Imam Al Bukhari mentioned it mu'allaqan, yani that this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said yawmul hajj al akbar yawmul nahr, yani that the day of al hajj al akbar is the day of sacrifice, yani the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So this day, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, yani, which we have entered into with the setting of the sun, yani this is the night preceding the day of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, yani the day of Nahr, or Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, this day, yani, is, according to, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, it is the day of al-Hajj al-Akbar. The Shaykh here mentions the hadith from Uqba ibn Amir رضي الله عنه. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم العرفة ويوم النهر وأيام التشريك عيدنا أهل الإسلام. To the end of the hadith. And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and I think نعم. So in this hadith it's narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said that the day of Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah that has just completed, and the day of Nahr, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of sacrifice, and the days of Tashriq, yani the 11th, 12th and 13th, the following days, those days the Prophet ﷺ said are our Eid, Eiduna Ahl al-Islam, yani O people of Islam, these days are our Eid. The Shaykh says in the mention of the sources of this hadith, he says this hadith is yani hasan, yani At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is hasan sahih, yani that it's a good and acceptable hadith, and it was also declared to be sahih by Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Imam Ibn Hibban rahimahumullah. Walakin dhikru yawmi arafa ghayru mahfuz. The Shaykh refers to a statement that's mentioned in Tamheed that the mention of Yawm al-Arafah in the beginning of this hadith is غير محفوظ, meaning that يعني, the rest of the hadith is considered to be authentic except these, the first part of the hadith, Yawm al-Arafah. So that what would be correct in this hadith according to يعني, what's mentioned in the Tamheed by Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah, is that Yawm al-Nahr, the day of sacrifice, and the days of Tashriq are our Eid, O people of Islam, Ahl al-Islam. After this, the Shaykh begins to mention, as the second point, he mentions that the difference between and the superiority of the Eid al-Adha over Eid al-Fitr. Yani the Eid al-Nahr is afdalu min Eid al-Fitr. He says that the day of sacrifice, the Eid of sacrifice, is better than the Eid al-Fitr. Yani the Eid that follows Ramadan. And that is because Eid al-Nahr fihi as-salat wa al-dhabh. Yani because the Eid al-Nahr, it contains the prayer, yani the Eid salat, and it also contains the sacrifice. While the Eid al-Fitr, he says, contains as-sadaqah wa salat. So both of them contain salat, yani the Eid salat, but the Eid al-Adha contains the sacrifice, or entails the sacrifice, while Eid al-Fitr entails the sadaqah or zakat al-Fitr. وَالنَّهْرُ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الصَّدَقَةِ, and the sacrifice is better than the charity. And therefore, yani the Eid al-Adha, yani from this perspective, is greater than Eid al-Fitr. Additionally, he said that يَوْمُ النَّهْرِ يَجْتَمِعُ فِيهِ شَرْفَ الْمَكَانِ وَالزَّمَانِ لِحُجَّاجِ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ الْحَرَامِ. Yani that not only is the yani Eid al-Adha, yani Eid al-Nahr, greater because the sacrifice is greater than the yani sadaqah, the charity, but as well the Yawm al-Nahr yani combines within it the noble station, the place yani where it's taking place, as well as the time for the people who are performing pilgrimage to the sacred house of Allah, meaning that this time is a special time, and as well yani for the people who are performing Hajj, there's also yani a noble, honorable place, and all of this is combined in Eid al-Adha, yani the place yani being Mecca, that the people are yani performing Hajj, going to Mecca. So he said for these two reasons, yani the Eid al-Adha is greater than the Eid al-Fitr. After this, he mentions the sha'air, yani those outward, apparent symbols or manifestations of Islam that occur, that take place, that the people practice or engage in on the day of Eid. And he mentions seven points that are of yani importance, seven things that are of great importance related to the things that will occur on the day of Eid. And if a person yani knows those things, then there's no excuse not to practice them. So it is important that first we know yani what are the important things that should be done on the day of Eid, and these are some of them. And then we must also yani make an effort to practice them. So the first thing that he says, that in this day there are certain practices or wadaif, yani duties, that we will mention in the following order. The first of them is al-khuruj ila musalla al-eid ala ahsani hay'atin mutazayyinan bima yubah تَأَسِّيًا بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the first thing is that the people go out to the place of prayer for the Eid in their best dress, in their best appearance, adorning themselves with that which is permissible in following the example of our Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani it was the practice of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ to wear the best of his clothing on the day of Eid. So this is yani this first, I mention the first thing from the outward appearances of the day of Eid is that the Muslims go out on the day of Eid in their best dress, but dressing in those things that are permissible, not dressing in those things that are forbidden, or appearing, yani even one's appearance should not yani include or should not entail that which is forbidden. And we won't go into the details, Sheikh hasn't gone into the details, but for example, so that it can be more clear what is meant here, yani that the adorning oneself on the day of Eid should not include those things that are prohibited. For example, a man shouldn't be wearing a gold ring. For example, because this is something that the kafirs may adorn themselves with, but it's haram for a man to wear gold. And from the practices of the people that they consider to be adorning themselves is some men shave their beards. And that's also haram. So the point is that from the first of those things, the manifestations of the Eid, is that the Muslims go out to the place of prayer on the day of Eid in their best dress, in their best appearance, yani adorning themselves with that which is permissible, and this is in emulating and following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shaykh says, they shouldn't leave off cleaning themselves and adorning themselves until they sacrifice their udhiyah. They should not delay taking a ghusl, for example, and putting on their nice clothing because they intend to make a sacrifice. So they delay that. This should not happen. And he said this is what some of the people are doing. He said this is wrong. Then he says, and this is yani a part of the first point of yani the appearance, the things, the outward appearances, yani the manifestations of Islam on the day of Eid, is that يُبَكِّرُ إِلَى الْمُصَلَّى لِيَحْصُلَ لَهُ الدُّنُو مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَفَضْلُ انْتِظَارِ السَّلَاةِ, that the Muslims go out early to the prayer area, to the prayer grounds. And this is so that one may achieve the virtue of being near to the Imam and the virtue of yani waiting for the salat. Yani there is a virtue, there is an excellence in a person coming early to be near to the Imam and to wait for the prayer. And as we see today, people don't care when they get to the Eid grounds, or if they are near to the Imam, or if they get there on time, if they wait for the prayer, or they miss the prayer. So this is the first point that the Shaykh makes, going out to the prayer ground in one's best appearance and going out to the prayer grounds early. The second point, he says, is in reference to the takbir, yani declaring Allah's greatness, the magnificence of Allah, saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He says that it is sunnah to recite the takbir on the road going to the prayer ground until the imam comes out for the salat, until the imam appears before the people to perform the salat. And in the day of Eid, unlike on Yawmul Jumu'ah, the prayer is performed first and then the khutbah of Eid is given afterwards. So the Shaykh is saying what? That is from the sunnah for the people to recite the takbir on their way, on the road, going to the prayer grounds, and continue reciting it until the imam comes out for the prayer. So if the imam begins to deliver the khutbah, then the people should discontinue the reciting of the takbir unless the imam, yani, says takbir during the khutbah and the people may repeat it with him or after him. The third point is the way that the Muslim goes to the Eid grounds and the way that they return. The Shaykh says, تُسَنُّ مُخَالَفَةَ الطَّرِيقِ وَهُوَ أَنْ يَذْهَبَ مِنْ طَرِيقٍ وَيَرْجِعَ مِنْ آخَرٍ, yani that a person goes to the Eid grounds by one road and they return by a different road. And they return by a different road, changing yani the paths of going and returning from the Eid. And this is based on what has been narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان يوم العيد خالف الطريق, yani that when it was the day of Eid, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to change the roads, yani he used to go by one road and come back by another road. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. The fourth matter that the Shaykh mentions is in reference to eating before going to the Eid prayer or not eating before going to the Eid prayer. And depending on which Eid it is, then the practice yani is opposite. So he says that it is sunnah for Eid al-Adha and لا يأكل شيئا حتى يصلي. That the sunnah on Eid al-Adha is that a person doesn't eat anything until they pray. Yani after the prayer, the sacrifice is made, and if a person is performing a sacrifice, then they should delay eating until they perform the sacrifice and eat from the sacrifice if it's practical to do so. If it's practical to do so. Meaning that maybe after the prayer, not like in the past or in certain places in the world where a person can immediately leave the prayer and go to their home or any place and perform the sacrifice immediately, maybe like here that might be difficult for most people. Maybe you go to the place where the sacrifice is performed, limited areas, crowded, a lot of people. Maybe a person might not be able to sacrifice for hours or before the end of the day or maybe the following day. So, and if it's practical, then from the sunnah is that on the day of Eid al-Adha, a person should not eat until after, yani, they performed the prayer, not before the prayer, because after the prayer is the sacrifice, and the person should eat from their sacrifice. That's what's preferable. And this is based on that which is narrated from Abdullah ibn Buraida, from his father, radiallahu anhu, that he said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يخرج يوم الفطر حتى يطعم ولا يطعم يوم الأضحى حتى يصلي. That the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't used to go out on the day of Fitr, on the day of Eid al-Fitr, until he had eaten. Yani he ate before he went out for the prayer. And he didn't used to eat on the day of Adha until he had performed the prayer. So on the day of Fitr, he used to eat before going to the prayer. And this is, yani, apparently relative to the fact that, yani, the Eid al-Fitr is following the month of fasting of Ramadan, and the fast has been and he completed, and therefore a person shouldn't go out on that day, yani, except that they have eaten, indicating clearly that they are not fasting, and it's in any case prohibited to fast on the day of Eid. So on the day of Eid al-Fitr, a person should eat before they go to the prayer ground, and on the day of Adha, they should not eat. One should not eat before going to the prayer ground, rather they should delay it until they eat from their sacrifice, if they intend to sacrifice. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his fatwa, he said concerning this, that this is intended for the person who's making a sacrifice. As far as the person is not making a sacrifice, then it's not necessary to delay eating. Point number five is related to the salat on the day of Eid. Yani, what is the ruling concerning this prayer? How important is it? The Shaykh, he says, Salat al-Eid, Sunnatun Mu'akkada. That the Salat of Eid is a confirmed, established, emphasized Sunnah. And therefore, يحرسوا المسلم على أدائها. And therefore, a Muslim should be eager, should be desirous, should make an effort, a great effort, to make sure that they participate in and they fulfill the performance of this prayer. To the extent that, the Shaykh says, يَنْبَغِي حَثُّ النِّسَاءُ وَالْأَوْلَادِ عَلَى هُدُورِهَا حَتَّى السُّبْيَانِ إِظْهَارًا لِشَعَارِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That it is incumbent upon us to encourage on this day even the women and the children to attend the Eid prayer. That's how important it is, even to the extent that even small children should be encouraged and brought to attend the Eid prayer. And this is to display, to show openly, to manifest the signs or the symbols or the manifestations of the aspects of Islam that people see around them in the public and in the open. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مَنْ قَالَ بِوُجُوبِهَا. And there are some scholars, the Shaykh says, there are some scholars who even said that it is wajib. Yani the performance of Salat al-Eid is not just a sunnah, mu'akkada, rather it is obligatory. And there's no doubt that the importance of this prayer is such that it's not far-fetched that some scholars hold it to be obligatory. Point number six, the Shaykh says, yani in reference to the sacrifice on the day of Eid al-Adha, the Udhiyah. بعد الصلاة والخطبة يذبح أضحيته بيده إن كان يحسن الذبح ويأكل منها ويهدي للأقارب والجيران ويتصدق على الفقراء. He says that after the salat and after the khutbah of Eid, one should sacrifice their animal, the udhiyah, with one's own hands, if one is capable, if one knows how to do it well. Meaning that a person who has never performed the sacrifice, they have never slaughtered the animal, and may not be capable of doing it properly, rather than to cause harm to the animal and torture the animal, which is forbidden, then they might be excused from doing it, and somebody else can do it on their behalf. Otherwise, it is preferable, it is better that a person perform the sacrifice themselves. One should do it himself or herself. وَيَأْكُلْ مِنْهَا Then he says they should eat from it. And they should give it as a gift to their relatives, give some of it as a gift to their relatives and their neighbors. And they should also give it as charity to the poor. And it is not as some people imagine that you have to divide up the meat into three equal parts and one third you eat from yourself and one third you give as gift to your relatives or neighbors and one third you give in charity. Rather, this is a general suggestion that some of it can be given in charity and some of it can be gifted to your relatives and neighbors and some of it will be kept for yourself to eat from it. And finally, the Shaykh says, well, your jewels, iddikhar luhum al-adahi. And it's also permissible that a person store up and keep to eat later. They can keep some of that meat from the animal that has been sacrificed. It's permissible to store it. And then he addresses the issue of the prohibition in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of storing up the meat from the sacrifice or from saving it. That a person shouldn't save it, that they keep it after 3 days, that they should eat it for those 3 days, eat from it for those 3 days. The Shaykh says, as far as the prohibition of storing up the meat from the sacrificial animal, and as far as the prohibition of eating from the meat of the sacrificial animal after 3 days, فَهُوَ مَنْسُوخ عَلَى قَوْلُ الْجُمْهُورِ That according to the majority of the scholars, their view is that this prohibition, the prohibition of storing up the meat and saving it for later, or not eating it within those 3 days, that the prohibition of this, he says, is abrogated. That it's not in force anymore. However, there's another view of some of the scholars, يَرَى بَعْدُ أَهْلَ الْعِلْمِ أَنَّهُ غَيْرُ مَنْسُوكُ Some scholars say that no, it is not abrogated. It's not abrogated. But whenever the people have been afflicted with being in need, in dire need of food, then in that case, it would be haram to store it up for later use. Rather, it should be given to the people who are in need. So the Shaykh is saying that the Jumhur, the majority of the scholars say that this prohibition is abrogated, while some scholars hold the view it's not abrogated, but rather if the same situation existed that was the cause of that prohibition, and that the people were in dire need, and therefore the Prophet ﷺ prohibited the people from storing it up and saving it for later, but rather the people should eat from it, for those 3 days, and then, and the rest of it should be given. He said, if that situation exists, then the prohibition returns and is prohibited to store it up and save it while the people are hungry and in need of eating. Sheikh goes on to say in this point number 6 that it is la yajuz al-istihana biluhum al-adahi aw ramyu ma yahtaj minha ila tanzif bihujjati mashaqqati tanzifihi. That it's not permissible to deal with or treat the meat from the sacrificial animal as though it is insignificant, as though it is unimportant. It is not permissible to do this, to think little of it, to not show respect for it, or to throw it away. That meat which requires cleaning with the excuse that it's difficult to clean it. That is not permissible, that a person throws some of the meat away with the excuse or the argument that it's difficult to clean it. بَلْ مِنْ تَمَامَ الشُّكْرَ الْإِسْتِفَادَ مِنْهَا كُلِّهَا أَوْ إِعْطَاؤُهَا مَنْ يَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْهَا وَلَوْ كَلَّفَ ذَٰلِكَ جُهْدًا. The Shaykh says, rather, from the completion and the perfection of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to have the means for this sacrificial animal, yani from the obligation that is upon us to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the completeness and the perfection of that gratitude is that a person benefits from the whole of that animal, from all of it. Or that they give it to whoever might benefit from it. Even if that requires some effort. Yani even if it requires a person to make some extra effort to get it to those who would benefit from it, rather than to just throw it away. Yani this is from the completeness and the perfection of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and throwing it away for whatever reasoning. Throwing it away is yani a lack of gratitude. It shows that a person is not grateful for the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final point that the Shaykh makes, la bas, yani la bas bittahniya bil'eed, yani that there's no harm in a person and the Muslims congratulating one another on the day of Eid. Yani there's no harm in doing so. This is something that is permissible. And he adds to this seventh point, that it is obligatory. يعني تجب زيارة الوالدين والأقارب وزيارتهم تقدم على زيارة الإخوان في الله. لأن الواجب على المسلم أن يبدأ بمن حقه آكد وصلته أوجب. يعني that it is obligatory for the Muslims to visit their parents and their relatives. And visiting their parents and their relatives is given precedence over visiting their brothers, yani al-ikhwan fillah, yani the people that are your friends in Islam, your brothers. Yani visiting the parents and relatives has precedence over visiting yani the Muslims in general, your friends or whoever. And that is because what is obligatory, what is mandatory, what is compulsory on the Muslim is that they begin with those whose right over them is more emphasized. Yani those who have a greater right over them. And one's parents and relatives have a greater right than one's friends. So it is obligatory to begin to fulfill the rights of those who have the greater right over you, and those who keeping ties with them is a greater obligation. Yani the greater obligation in keeping ties is with one's parents and relatives than with the other Muslims in general. The Shaykh closes by saying, Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha. O Allah, yani grant our souls its taqwa, that we have taqwa. Wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. And purify our souls. Indeed, you are the one who is best in purifying the souls. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. You are the guardian of our souls and the master of our souls. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fi al-umur kulliha. And make the endings of all of our affairs to be good. Wa ajirna min khizy ad-dunya wa adhab al-akhirah. And save us from disgrace in this world and from punishment in the hereafter. Waghfir Allahumma lana wa liwalidina wa jami'il muslimin. And Allah forgive us and our parents and all of the Muslims. So these seven things that the Shaykh mentioned here are things that we should have in the forefront of our mind. Probably most of them we already know, or all of them. But nonetheless, yani it is a reminder, and it's not only a reminder, it is an encouragement. Yani the reviewing of these matters is an encouragement that we actually make a tremendous attempt to act upon them. And the first of them, he said, is that a person goes out to the Eid ground in their best appearance and going out early, and that they recite the takbir on the way to the Eid grounds and up until the imam comes out, and that they take different routes in going and in coming, and that for Eid al-Adha a person should not eat before the Salat. The Salatul Eid also is from the great important matters of this day that a person should make every effort to participate in, and the sacrifice for whoever is able, eating from it and gifting it and giving it in charity, and the greetings of one another, and visiting parents also are from those important things on this particular day. The second hadith that we're going to look at today is under the title, and this is on the pages, in English it's on page 51, 52 and 53, and in Arabic it's on page 34 and 35. The title that the Shaykh has given to the second hadith is Fadlu Ayyam al-Tashriq, yani the excellence, the virtue and the superiority of the days of Tashriq, and the days of Tashriq are the days following the Eid. Yani the Eid being the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, days of Tashriq, the 11th, 12th and 13th. He narrates the hadith from Nubaysha al-Hudhali radiallahu anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وفي رواية ذكر لله أخرجه مسلم. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said concerning the days of Tashriq, yani the days following the Eid al-Adha, yani the following 3 days, the 11th, 12th and 13th, he said these are days of eating and drinking. Yani that in these days people are enjoying themselves in a festive way by eating more than one normally eats and drinking more than one normally drinks. And in a narration of this hadith, he said these are days of dhikrin lillahi. Yani also these are days in which a person emphasizes and pays attention to more than normally. If a person is eating and drinking more than they normally do in the days of Eid, they should also not forget that there's also, yani, a sunnah that we remember Allah more than we do in other days. This hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim, the Shaykh says that this hadith is a dalil showing the excellence and the superiority and the virtue of the days of Tashriq, yani the 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul Hijjah. And they are called, they are named, yani, Ayyam al-Tashriq, because the people, yani, in these days, لِأَنَّ النَّاس يُشَرِّقُونَ فِيهَا لُحُومَ الْأَضَاهِ وَالْهَدَايَا. And it is in these days that the people cut into strips or slices, cut into strips the meat, and then they lay it out to dry. Yani the word that's used for this, يُشَرِّقُونَ, this is what it means. And that's why it's called أيام التشريق. Yani from شرق, يشرق, تشريق. The people, they cut the meat into strips and they lay it out to dry. The Shaykh says, these days, the 11th, 12th and 13th of Dhul Hijjah, they are important days. These are Ayyam al-Fadila wa Mawasim al-Azima. These are days, yani, of virtue, virtuous days, days of excellence and a season of greatness, yani a period of time that is very, very important. And they are the days that are mentioned in the Quran as Al-Ayyam Al-Ma'dudat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, the 203rd ayat, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Remember Allah, mention and praise Allah in the Ayyam Al-Ma'dudat, the appointed numbered days. ولا خلاف في ذلك كما نقله غير واحد. And there's no difference of opinion about the fact that these days, the days of Tashriq, the 11th, 12th and 13th, are what, yani, is intended in the Quran in this ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah mentions, remember Allah in these ayyam al-ma'dudat. Yani remember Allah, meaning what? That a person emphasizes and, yani, pays attention to remembering Allah, yani the dhikr of Allah, the praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days more than other times. Then the Shaykh says this hadith, yani, indicates two things. قَدْ دَلَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرَيْنِ. Actually he mentions more than two things, but he mentions two things primarily that clearly, obviously are indicated in this hadith. The first of them is أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ أَيَّامْ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ. Yani that this hadith indicates that these days, أَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيقِ, are days of eating and drinking more than normal, and displaying happiness and joy, and spending generously on the family and on the children, so that, yani, there may be relaxation of the bodies and joy and happiness and pleasure for the souls. as long as it doesn't include al-mahdhur, yani the things that are prohibited. And as long as it doesn't, yani entail occupying, busying, distracting a person from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani eating and drinking and enjoying oneself in a way that doesn't involve that which is haram, and doesn't involve that which causes a person to be distracted from and to be neglectful of and negligent of the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith we mentioned already previously, yani it is reported that he said, يَوْمُ الْعَرَفَةِ وَيَوْمُ النَّهْرَ وَأَيَّامِ التَّشْرِيكِ عِيدُنَا أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ, yani that the day of Arafah and the day of Nahra, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, and the days of Tashriq are our Eid, O people of Islam. Yani أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ, what is intended here is what? Ya أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ, for those who are studying Arabic. Huh? A lot of Arabic students here. I mean, not a lot, but mashallah. Now, so also we remind, like as the Shaykh mentioned, and as is mentioned in the footnote, that in At-Tamheed it's mentioned that the first part of this hadith, يَوْمُ الْعَرَفَةِ, يَنِي إِسْغَيْرُ mahfuz, and it's not considered to be from that which is authentic. So the hadith should read, the day of Nahr and the days of Tashriq, yani the 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th, are from days of our Eid, O people of Islam. Shaykh said there is nothing to prohibit us from yani eating and drinking more than we normally do on these days, especially eating from the meat of the sacrificial animal, and that is because the Prophet ﷺ described these days as ayyam aklin wa shurb. That means he described them as such, making us to know that these are days when we might eat and drink a little bit more than we normally do, yani, as part of the festivities of the days, as part of the celebration of those days and the enjoyment of those days, as long as it didn't reach the point of al-israf, wal-tabdhir, wal-istihana bi-ni'amillahi ta'ala. Yani, the eating and drinking a little bit more than normal is fine as long as it doesn't reach the point of becoming extravagance or wastefulness or yani istihana bi-ni'amillahi, yani as long as it doesn't reach the extent or the point that the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are yani treated insignificantly as unimportant, yani we should not yani think little of these, of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second matter that this hadith clearly indicates, the Shaykh says, anna hadhihi al-ayyam ayyam dhikrin lillahi ta'ala, that these days are days of remembrance of Allah the Most High. Yani the second point that this hadith clearly indicates is that these are days in which a person should emphasize and pay attention to and focus on and increase in the remembrance of Allah. And this is done by the takbir, following the obligatory prayers. And also, yani, التكبير عقب الصلوات وفي كل الأوقات والأحوال الصالحة لذكر الله تعالى. And also in all of the times and situations and circumstances that are appropriate for the remembrance of Allah. Yani the dhikr of Allah, the takbir in these days, yani is fulfilled or is performed by reciting the takbir after the five obligatory prayers. Yani from the day of Arafah after Salatul Fajr until yani the last of the days of Tashriq, the 13th, and the Asr prayer, which is the last prayer of the day. He said this is fulfilled by what? By reciting the takbir after the obligatory prayers, and also reciting the takbir other than after the obligatory prayers in all times and in all situations and circumstances that are appropriate, that are suitable for the remembrance of Allah. And from included in that, yani those times or situations or circumstances in which the Allah should be remembered, is the dhikr of Allah, ala al-akl wa shurb, بِتَسْمِيَةِ اللَّهِ فِي أَوَّلِهِ وَحَمْدِهِ فِي آخِرِهِ. And that is, yani also included in this, is the remembrance of Allah. Yani mentioning the name of Allah when a person eats or drinks. Yani in the beginning, when they are about to eat or drink, to mention the name of Allah and to praise Allah, to say Alhamdulillah when a person has eaten or drinking. Yani a person is about to eat something, say Bismillah, and when they bite it or eat it, then they also say Alhamdulillah. Even though this is something, yani it's general that we should always say Bismillah before we eat anything, and say Alhamdulillah when we eat something, after we eat. That's general. But he said, yani, it's more emphasized in these days. Yani, the days of Tashriq, Ayyam, Dhikrin, Lillahi. Those are the two things that the Shaykh says are clearly indicated in this hadith, and then he goes on to mention a few other points before we close out this hadith. He says, فَعَلَى الْمُسْلِمُ أَنْ يَحْذَرَ الْغَفْلَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani, it is incumbent upon the Muslim to beware, to be cautious, to take precaution from being heedless, unmindful of the remembrance of Allah in these days. And a person should try to be conscious, to consciously avoid and beware of what many people fall into in the time of Eid, in the time of celebration, that they forget about the remembrance of Allah. People just enjoying themselves and they forgot about Allah. So he said, a person should beware of such. A Muslim should beware of al-ghafla, being unmindful and heedless of the remembrance of Allah in this time, such that they took the first part of the hadith and they left the second part. Yani, they took the part, yani, ayyam al-tashriq is for eating and drinking, and then they forgot about it's also for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that a person should not waste this time in amusement and play, as many of the people in this day and time do, like staying up late into the night, such that it caused them to miss the proper times for the obligatory prayers. And maybe people stay up very late at night and they miss the time for Fajr, or even, and some people didn't pray at all. And also he said that, yani, also, yani, from that which must be avoided is what, yani, he mentions here is قَتْلُ الْوَقْتِ, yani, killing time. And I think we know what that means, yani, wasting time. And also الْإِسْتِعَانَ بِنِعْمِ اللَّهِ عَلَى مَعَاسِهِ, that people, that one should be careful, be cautious from and avoid, yani, using the blessings of Allah as a means to disobey Him. Yani, using what Allah has blessed you with in disobedience to Him. And also wasting a lot of time, yani, devoting oneself and being obsessed with the instruments of amusement and play, yani, that people waste time with, and there are all kinds of things that people waste time with, starting with the telephone and so on. Finally, the Shaykh, he says, and know that it is not permissible to fast in the days of Tashriq. It is absolutely mutlaqan, prohibited, unrestrictedly prohibited. And as he will mention, except for one exception. And this prohibition of fasting in the days of Tashriq is for the person who is performing Hajj as well as the person who is not performing Hajj. And this is according to the most apparent of the sayings or the views of the scholars. Therefore, a Monday or a Thursday, if a Monday or a Thursday came during the days of Tashriq, yani the 11th, 12th or 13th, a Monday fell in, yani at that, on those days, during those days, or Thursday came during those days, and a person normally fasts on Monday and Thursday, but it's from the days of Tashriq, it's not permissible to fast, yani, that Monday or that Thursday. And likewise, if a person used to fast Ayyam al-Bid, yani the middle of the month, yani the 13th, 14th and 15th. So if, yani, a person normally fasted those days, so the 13th is from the days of Tashriq. A person should not fast on that day. It is prohibited to fast on the days of Tashriq. The exception to this, the Shaykh says, is the person who's performing Hajj Tamattu or Hajj Qiran. Person who's performing one of these two types of Hajj. Yani, that a person is performing this type of Hajj and they didn't, and this type of Hajj requires the person making a sacrifice, and they didn't find, they didn't have the ability to make a sacrifice, then that person is allowed to fast on the days of Tashriq. Yani, because of that special condition, he says, this is based on what is reported from Abdullah ibn Umar and Aisha radiallahu anhum, that both of them said, لم يرخص في أيام التشريك أن يصمنا إلا لمن لم يجد الهدية. Yani, that it has permission has not been given for anyone to fast in the days of Tashriq, except that the person who didn't find the sacrificial animal, and they are from the people who are performing Hajj that requires their sacrifice. And the Shaykh closes by saying, Allahumma ja'al khayra a'marina akhiraha. Yani, O Allah, make the best of our lives. Yani, our lifespan. Make the best of it, the end of it. Wa khayr a'malina khawatimana. And the best of our deeds, yani, those that we end with, that seal our deeds, yani, our final deeds. Wa khayr ayyamina yawma nalqaka. And the best of our days, yani, the day that we meet you, meaning yawm al-qiyamah. وَتَوَفَّنَا وَأَنْتَ رَاضٍ عَنَّا. And take our lives, take our souls, while we're in a condition of you being pleased with us. And forgive us, O Allah, and forgive our parents and all of the Muslims. Naam. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. If there's a question or any correction, Naam.